I've been reminiscing a lot lately. It's been 40 years of ministry. I was recalling the first pastoral visit that I made. I was a senior in high school, and I was in my very first church in Liberty, Missouri. I went to see a widow, and she lived in an old farmhouse. I knocked on the door, and she invited me into her living room. Her walls were covered with pictures. Pictures of her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. There were pictures of her nieces, and her nephews, and her great-nieces, and great-nephews. And she introduced me to every single one of them. What struck me was her collection of knick-knacks. I'd never seen so many things all piled together in my life. Here a knick, there a knack, everywhere a knick-knack. Every flat surface in the room had something on it. Now, it wasn't anything exceptional, and there was no coherent theme. Just all kinds of souvenirs from trips that she'd taken. I recollect that I sort of thought this was the museum of her life. And I got to take a tour. This came from a trip that I took with my late husband to Europe. This was an item that was given to me by my grandmother. I remember thinking in my head, that must be really old. And so I took the tour through the museum of her life. And I said, you have a lot of things. And I was young. And now I have a lot of things. You know what I mean? It's all a bunch of junk. I mean, you couldn't give my stuff away at the yard sale. They wouldn't be able to sell most of it. It's just my stuff, you know. And someday, somebody's going to be doing this with my stuff. When I'm gone, they're going to be trying to figure out what to do with it. Huh? Goodwill, goodwill. That's where yours will go. Most of mine will go in the dumpster, I assure you of that. But, you know, you keep all the knickknacks, don't you? Anybody else do this? Am I the only one that does this? You keep the little knickknacks because they remind us of all the ways that we've been blessed in our life. And that's what I was reminded of as this woman showed me around. All the blessings, all the memories, and how God had blessed her life. And these knickknacks, they were more than just knickknacks. They were memories of her life and the blessings of God and the people who have blessed her. She could tell me who gave what to her. She remembered. And she remembered the occasion. And so I understood why she kept them all. Because it gave her opportunity to give thanks. Anytime she looked at one, she could give thanks for that experience or that event or that trip or that person. She could give thanks to God for having that experience in her life. And this is what the scripture tells us. Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the writer to Ephesians says. Strange advice. He's just warned us in chapter 5 to be careful how we live, right? He says to be wise, to make the most of the time. The days are evil. And he's urged us to avoid drunkenness, alcoholism, wrecking as many lives as it does now. And God knows there's enough struggle, there's enough negativity, enough pain, enough fear, enough stress in every life, right? We all have it. And we want to escape any way we can. But no, he says, don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I talk to people when they leave worship every Sunday and they tell me, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the week if I don't have this opportunity. And they tell me, I sing the songs over and over again in my head as I go through the day. And so we worship God and we celebrate who God is and we fill ourselves with God's Spirit. Singing, making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to the God and Father at all times, and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a little too global for me. How about you? Thanks for everything? We're really supposed to thank God for everything? For war, for disease, for natural disaster. Thank God for the hot days of summer, or the cold days of snowy winter. Thank God for everything, for poverty, for old age, for the thousand serious sorrows that attend every normal life. Some things I don't feel like thanking God for. And you know, I kind of think I'd be inauthentic if I did. Can't forget the prayer I heard. I was on the CBF Georgia board, and we had a meeting in Savannah when I was pastor at First Baptist in Georgia, and we ended with a banquet. Food was okay. The gracious and gentle minister who celebrated us, the board members, was nice enough, but he prayed this prayer. I'll never forget it. He said, Lord, we thank you for snap peas fresh from the garden. And Lord, we thank you for red potatoes dug from the soil by hand. And Lord, we thank you for these Washington apples and this Wisconsin cheddar. And Lord, we thank you for those juicy tomatoes straight from Guatemala. And Lord, we thank you for those plump speckled hens, that swift brook trout, for pies from Grandma's oven. And we also thank you for this meal that we're about to eat this evening. I asked him for a copy of that prayer. He gave it to me. So that's how we offer our thanks to God for everything. I suspect he was thanking God for everything. Everything that he could think of under the sun, right? And I've heard people say this too. Thanks for nothing. You? Thanks for nothing. And the last time I heard that, I could tell he felt thankful for nothing. And so is that what the author of Ephesians means, that we should be sarcastic or maybe even ironic to be grateful and remembering it could always be worse? So be glad for at least what you got. At least what you've got. Surely not. The Bible gives us some really simple words which are easy to say, but meaning them, I think, takes spiritual discipline. It's a journey, folks, to get there. I believe. I'm sorry. I forgive you. I love you. Easy to say, but oh, how difficult sometimes to get to that place and only do it because you have the love of God in you. Amen. So let's say it. This is one of them. Thank you. Try it.
Thank you.
Wow. Did you mean it?
Yeah.
I mean to God, right? Let's do it again. Say it again. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, God. And recognizing that all good gifts come from God and God alone, and that God is truly deserving of our thanks. But sometimes it's hard to get there. It's hard to say it. It's hard to feel it. And sometimes we don't feel it at all. And that's okay. Because you know what? As you're struggling, I'm going to help you. Okay? And when I'm struggling, you're going to help me. Okay? And then in the end, we can say thank you together. Okay? That's sort of how it's supposed to work. You got to feel it from the depth of your being. You know, being grateful, it takes effort. It doesn't take any effort to be negative. I can tell you that. I mean, I'll tell you, folks, life offers a lot of opportunities for us to be negative. And it doesn't take any effort at all to be negative or critical or judgmental, does it? I mean, it just falls right into our paths. And that's an easy path to walk in. So many opportunities. It's easy to wander in the wilderness of pessimism or camp in the badlands of despair. And I got to tell you, it's infectious behavior. It really is. The harder spiritual course, is to take the positive route. It's to seek out the positive. It's like Jacob who wrestles for blessing. He seeks and finds the place where God is giving life and blessing, and he's wrestling for it. It's a spiritual battle. It really is. The harder course is to find the fountain, drink deeply. There's a well of salvation. But it's the harder way. I suppose thank you is hard to say because it means recognizing your indebtedness. We like to think that we're the ones who should get everything, right? Even your dependence upon someone else for something you need. It means paying attention enough to notice that others are helping you in ways that cost them something. Some time, some effort, some price. They don't have to pay that for you. It's hard to say it because it might call you to some kind of sacrifice in response. We realize that other people are helping us in a variety of different ways. That means that, well, we ought to probably show our thankfulness in the way we respond. Maybe it's hard to say because each of us receives so much from the people around us. It's just impossible to keep up with all the many blessings that we've received, you know? And so sometimes we just don't say it. Because they just keep coming. time after time after time, and we forget all the ways that we've been aided through life and how people have helped us. In our disconnected industrial age, we don't even know the carpenters who built our home. We don't know the factory workers who assembled our car. We don't know the farmers who grow our food, the seamstress who sew what we wear, the people who clean the spaces we use. We don't know any of these people. And we just expect it, don't we? It'll be there for us. Somehow, some way, it'll be there. And how do we thank them? Well, by thanking God. Thank everybody who's a part in any way in this intricacy of interdependence which makes up our world, folks. Give thanks at all times, Ephesians says. That would suppose developing this constant attitude of gratitude, all the time being thankful. I've been accused of being too happy. He laughs too much. He's too joyful. He likes to tell jokes and laugh. He's happy about everything. I am. But that's not because everything is good on the outside. It's because everything's good on the inside. And I realize that all these blessings that come to me in life, they're mine because of God. I don't deserve them. God has blessed me with them. And you too, if you can see it, you too. I think Ephesians gives us a little bit of advice. You know, folks, it's easy to be thankful for the good things. You get a gift, you win a prize, your team wins a championship. Go Chiefs, by the way. I had to throw that in there. Kansas City boy, your team wins the championship. You feel grateful. I mean, you know, the day is beautiful. Your boss recognizes your hard work. You get a raise. The tests come back with an A. Or what about when the test comes back negative? You get a good report. Feel grateful and you praise God. I think Ephesians tells us, though, we need to take a step beyond that. You know, from our first breath forward, most of us have more to say about grace than we can count. More blessings than curse, more good than bad. Now, this is not true for all people. I realize that. But, you know, I want each of you to think of five evidences that God is good for your life. Think about it. Think about it. Some of you are racking your brain right now, I can tell. And some of you, it was easy. But we aren't in the habit of counting our blessings. We're just not. Maybe once a year, you know, on Thanksgiving. But God's mercies are constant. God's goodness is unfailing. I slept last night and woke up this morning. How about you? Yeah. I ate breakfast. I had clothes to wear, and I've got a roof over my head, and I drove to church in a nice car, and I met friends here who care about me, and the least I can do and the least you can do is to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You have blessed my life. And I'm here to worship you and give you praise. It's not always good, of course. I've got my struggles, folks. You've got yours, and disappointments, anxieties. We all do. I think Ephesians says these are areas of your life that you have to look at too. You have to find gratitude even in the difficult places. As that honest atheist Friedrich Nietzsche observed, whatever does not kill me makes me stronger, right? How many of us have had wake-up calls that saved our lives? Anybody here had a wake-up call that saved your life. Yeah, I see some of you out there. I know I've been with you during the wake-up call, some of you, right? Yeah. I know no alcoholic is grateful for the disease, but I've met a lot of alcoholics who were grateful for the strength they found by being weak enough to admit that they had a disease. And they needed help. And they needed friends. And they needed to get through it. And they did. They confronted the problem. Usually our problems are the thin places of our lives, folks, where we are most likely to turn to God and find God already at work. Last week I heard from Romans, you did too. We boast in our sufferings, said Paul, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which He's given to us. Romans 5:3-5. It's hard for us to be thankful for our struggles. It's hard. But we can be grateful for lives engaged in important work, for challenges that call out our best gifts, even for pain that pushes us to discover a path of spiritual awareness that perhaps we may not have discovered if we had not had to go through this. And we find the psychic and emotional resources that we didn't think we had. But we found out we do have. And to say, you know, if I can get through that, I can get through anything. I can get through anything. By the grace of God. We can be grateful for the God who's waiting to be discovered in the dark moments of our lives. God makes God's self aware. In the difficult times, sometimes those are the places where we see God most clearly. When all our resources have failed, right? When I don't have anything left and I don't have any other options. Folks, you cannot fall further than God can catch you. You cannot fall further. Did you hear me? You cannot fall further than God can catch you. God will be there. Always be there. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But God will be there. Sometimes you look around and you say, you know, I don't have it so bad after all. And even in our whining and our complaining, I think that's kind of a luxury. So many people have no one who's going to listen to their whining and complaining and no one who really cares. So give thanks for all the good and all the evil. Would Ephesians suggest that? Here and there, the Bible makes some pretty grand statements that are pretty inclusive. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Does that mean we don't work against evil? Mm-hmm. We do. There's no way that children dying in poverty or hunger or illness or missile attacks is the will of God. We work against evil. Even just war theology insists war is never good, never what God prefers. No way. No, I think these scriptures mean to remind us that even the worst atrocities, even the darkest evil, cannot finally thwart the intentions of God. cannot. I believe in the life to come, not because we deserve it, or because we are immortal souls trapped in this mortal flesh for a time. I believe because Jesus spoke of it, and the Bible and the tradition of our faith confirm it. But more than anything else, I believe life beyond this life, for the same reason the ancient Hebrews came to believe in it, because I believe God is just. This world obviously is not. I cannot believe in the justice of God unless there is a world to come where God's justice will be served. And therefore, I can be grateful, even for evil, because it forces my faith more deeply towards the God who is my only hope. Reminds me that God will finally, hear this people, will finally heal every wound and dry every tear and bring all creation to good. God shall do this because God said He will and He can. Those little things, those little pieces from the museum of my life, well, they don't mean much to anybody else, but they mean a lot to me. It calls me to Thanksgiving. I got mine, you got yours, but we also have some pieces that call us to gratitude before God. Don't we? Piece of bread, cup of wine. Candles on a table and a cross. Well, those aren't knickknacks, are they? Those aren't knickknacks. No. No, they're there to remind us of all that we have to be thankful for. Aren't they? And we put them out and we show them to everyone every week on our table so that we'll be reminded of what we have to be thankful for. This God who loves us and died for us, who cares for us, who blesses us. And there they are. So go ahead, push it out. Tell God thanks for everything. Say it. Thanks for everything. Say it. Thanks for everything. Thanks for everything. Thank you, God. And in the words of Julian of Norwich, all is well and all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to be grateful always and in all things. Give us attentive spirits so that we might notice our blessedness. Grant us the confidence that we might rejoice even in our sufferings and renew our faith that all things work together for good. And thus might we rest in the peace and the promise of the love of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.